Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Welcome back to Nighttime Talk with Gary Brennan in for Niall Boylan. Before the break, I spoke with the leader of AIM 2, Pather Tobin. He talked us through his experiences of the last couple of weeks on the campaign trail and the promises that AIM 2 have. And we are in the thick of it, let's face it, coming up to the 29th of November, where we're all going to go to the polls and elect a new Dáil. So we've been talking a lot about the performance of the current government and how you rate it and about how you plan to vote in the upcoming general election. But has your opinion changed after 13 days on the campaign trail? Did any single candidate or party address your main concerns, or are you sticking with your original decision? Let me know. Get in touch on WhatsApp 087 188 0008 and across social media, X at Classic Hits Radio or Ireland's Classic Hits Radio on Facebook. Lots of calls on this one, so I'm going to take Sean on line one. Sean, you've been swayed since the live debate.
How are you doing, Gary? How are you?
I'm very well. And yourself?
Not too bad, Gary. So I've watched the live debate, so has everybody else, and I've watched everybody spin their lawyers, Gary, and you know, promise the moon and the earth and the sun to everybody as to what they usually do, Gary. You know.
So you don't believe any of them, Sean?
I don't, because they're all saying the same thing, and I don't know, did you watch it, Gary?
I did watch it, yeah, I watched all,
right. So
all of it.
You watched the same bullshit as I seen, Gary. And they all passed the buck on each other. They all blamed each other and everything else. And, oh, well, you know, as what one would say, it was just a blame game. You know, that's what I watched, Gary. A three-hour episode of a blame game that you always do.
Yeah.
You know, from Sinn Féin all the way down to Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, People Before Profit. The whole lot. Everybody blamed each other on everything that they always did and they always promised the people, you know. And
even the ones, Sean, that were in government together were blaming each other.
I couldn't believe, Gary, do you know what? I even said to my family and I said to my friends, that's 3 hours of whatever bullshit that I ever watched. I'm never going to get that back, you know, because they were slating each other. And I'm not going into government with you. Do you know what? They were like 2-year-olds.
Well, I mean, you heard my interview there with Pather Tobin, and he was saying about Fianna Fáil being an ideological hollow husk and Sinn Féin not knowing which way the wind is blowing and all that kind of stuff. And I said to him, so you're ruling them out? He goes, not at all. So, look, they always get back together after the election.
Yeah, they all jump into bed together.
They do a bit of business.
That's exactly what was my point going to be next, that no matter what they say, they all sleep together in the end. You know, every one of them. You know, if Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael said the same thing about each other, and look at them now, you know.
But Sean, so, I want to drill down on this, because you did decide who you're going to vote for after watching the debate, didn't you?
I did. Well, no, I did and I didn't. You know, I said I was swayed by AIM 2. I said I was swayed by AIM 2. And I heard Pather Tobin there today, and this evening there, and I heard what he was saying. What my concerns are here, Gary, and I'm going to give you my concerns, is that, you know, again, we're going to hear about what's happening with the immigration pact. You know, I don't know what date, I think it's next Sunday, is it, or next Monday, we're going to hear that. But this concerns a lot of people in this country, because we want to know, as citizens of this country, we can't take everybody in, Gary. We can't. And the fact of the matter is, and even Pather Tobin said it, that the country is under enough stress as it is, and we can't keep just piling people in on top of each other, you know, into this country, because we got to look after the people that we took in already, Gary. And, you know, we were seeing there, up in Croxling there, RTE put out a video there, and they were sleeping in tenants there, and they were being moved indoors. You know, this has to stop. It has to stop.
So immigration is up there for you, Sean, and you're making your choices based on that.
Well, that's one of them. Health, housing, you know, the elderly, Gary, the elderly have to be looked after. See the pension, Gary, at the moment.
Yeah.
It's not worth a feck.
And you sort of liked the cut of AIM 2's jib on that one.
Gary, another thing, and it has to be stressed, and again, they all promised the moon, the stars and the sun. We have the dearest hospital in the world being built here in Ireland. You know, the public force, Gary, has to be tightened. We have to have a party in here that's going to watch the expenditure that these bike sheds. And you've seen it. And you've seen what Harris done. He passed the book straight away. Oh, no, that was under Leo Varadkar. It's still under you. You still gave the go-ahead for a lot of things. And again, you know, I could see him squirming, you know, when he was asked these questions. You know, the fact of the matter is we need a party in here that's going to look after, i.e. the public, for a start.
Okay, Sean.
This is the Ireland of Vernons.
Go ahead quickly.
This is the Ireland of Ireland, Gardaí, right? And at the end of the day, I don't care what anyone says. This is Ireland. This is the Ireland of Ireland. This is the people of Ireland. This is our country. And who we bring into this country should be our choice. And it should be the government's choice. And anybody that comes in here should be.
We need immigration. We absolutely need.
I'm not disputing this, Gary.
Yeah, yeah,
but the fact of the matter is, the immigration should be done the way you get in, same way as you get into America. You should be screened, and if you have convictions, and if you don't have a passport, Gary, you're not getting going to America. You're not going near it, you know. And this is what my point is, Gary. You need a passport, and you should need a passport to get into the Ireland of Ireland.
Okay, Sean, I'll let you make your point. I have to bring Billy in now. So, Billy, you know who you're not voting for.
Gary, I would be what would be termed politically homeless, Gary.
I watched
the debate, and I will freely say, Gary, since 2007, I voted for Fine Gael.
Okay, so you weren't always homeless.
No, I wasn't always homeless. I voted for a party that I thought stood for law and order, fiscal responsibility, and that I would have aligned to the values of that party. That party does not have those values anymore. In fairness, two of their canvassers called to my door, and I told them I will not be voting for you this time. And two canvassers for another party called as well. Those are the only canvassers I've had to the door. The rest of them don't seem to call. They're not on the ground. I'm not sure what your experience about that with that has been, Gary, but I haven't seen canvassers out.
Well, do you know what? So, not one person has come to my door. Now, granted, I'm here at night doing the show, but they wouldn't be calling around at 9 o'clock. So
no,
I haven't had anyone call to my door, no.
You're probably talking five to eight maybe would be the times. And I'm sure if someone was calling, you'd be told when you got home if they were or not. They're not canvassing this time, Gary. I listened to Patter there. There's certain things that he said that I would agree with. There's certain things that, you know, Patter stands for that I don't agree with. I'm happy that you brought up the point with him about the hostages in Gaza at the moment. I think it's something that the Irish media in general has glossed over, and I was disgusted with Sinn Féin's call for a review of RTE's coverage of what's going on in Gaza at the moment, because I think if RTE was any more biased, they'd be putting a Palestinian flag at the start of every report that they do on Gaza. So, you know, I just wonder with this country, you know, at the moment, the political class has absolutely just bailed.
On that point, Billy, that you just made, do you think there's people in Ireland that feel that their views aren't represented by the main parties?
Of course there's people in Ireland whose views aren't represented. And I'm sure there's a lot of disenfranchised people in Ireland at the moment for different reasons. I watched that debate, and every single politician has their finger in that Apple tax money pot and the corporate tax spend pot. And none of them are looking beyond the next 5 years. You know, if there was a brain cell between the 10 of them that were on the stage on that night, they would all sit down together and say, okay, let's start planning for what this country needs over the next 30 years, not just the next 5 years. And let's put a plan together with everyone involved for things like sláinte care, for things like infrastructure in the country that's going to work. And it doesn't matter who gets in, we let the OPW go off and do the work with supervision so they're not overspending the money, and, you know, have an overall plan and let us deal with the national issues that we need to deal with, not the petty stuff that seems to consume them the whole time. Like parish pump politics and potholes in the road should not be why people are getting elected to Dáil Éireann.
Okay, Billy, stay there because I want to bring Stephen in. Stephen, I have you on line one. You've been contacting ministers for help, housing issues in Cork.
Yeah.
And how has that been going for you?
Yeah. The ministers themselves, not good. So they're kind of pawning me off. So the situation was, we're 5 years in a house with severe moisture. I just sent your producer there the pictures of the mushrooms, actual mushrooms growing on the walls. My four-year-old is sick for the last 2 years. The doctors are all saying the same thing. It's because he's living in such a damp environment. This is causing it. So, and if you do research on it, he matches every single symptom. So we filled out the medical forms that we were asked to fill out by Cork City Council. In February, the doctors filled them out, two doctors and a public health nurse. That was rejected in June with no reason for it. So I was asking for a reason, because if they tell you why it was rejected, you can fix it. You can go and find like what's missing and get it. But they just say it was rejected, so no priority was given. So lo and behold, look, we've been 2 years without a shower. Well, 18 months to be precise. We've had 2 months without a cooking facilities in the house. They were finally rectified. And this situation was never dealt with by the landlord. So I took an RTB hearing. I applied for an adjudication to get my rights as a tenant. He made €70,000 in the last 5 years on rent. So the RTB hearing was last Tuesday. We got a notice of termination the Friday before. So I was like, right, now I'm facing homelessness because of this. Because I took, for my rights, I'm facing homelessness. So what I did do was, I said, the local TDs and councillors, they can send in their representations for you, but I'm getting nothing back. That was the issue I had. So I contacted the Minister of Health, I think it's Stephen Donnelly, his office. They wrote to me, yes, I was in the CUH on Monday with my son, and I got an email back to say it's a housing issue. Contact housing. Now, I already did contact Darragh O'Brien's office, and they told me, you have to do it at a local level. And I responded saying, no, you're the Minister for Housing. I have a sick child, I'm desperate, I'm facing homelessness, can we do something? No. So I wrote back to the Minister of Health. I said, no, I want you to look at this as a health reason. You're the Minister of Health. And I was told, you're outside my constituency. The same with Taoiseach, Simon Harris's office last week, you're outside my constituency. I rang the Minister for Education because I'm a secondary school teacher and the well-being of teachers would be something they rattle off a lot. And I said, look, I'm literally suffering. I'll be out of the job in January. If I'm facing homelessness, I can't be in a job. My son hasn't had a single day in school since the start of the year, a full day in school. He's been sent home every time he goes in, and then he's over 48 hours. I was told I'm not inside the constituency. So, my hands are tied.
Stephen, it sounds like you're going through it at the moment. And you say you're writing to all these people and you're not getting a reasonable or satisfactory response even. And coming up to an election, has it changed the way you were going to vote, or do you think it matters?
So normally I look at kind of the whole politics of it, but now I'm kind of focusing on my own situation. I know, look, the situation in Gaza and all that is very important, but when you're in this situation, all I can focus on is myself.
Yeah,
I have to be selfish now. Like my son right now, I'm outside in the car. I'll go in. He'll be crooping tonight. He'll be awake tonight. He'll be hoarse in the morning. I'm hoarse now. If you can hear through the Cork accent, you can hear him still a hoarse.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm dealing with. So what happened was, I never normally would vote green. And I contact every TD. I give them all a chance.
Yeah.
The whole lot of them. Some don't answer the phone, so they're gone. Like, some just don't answer the phone. Then the normal responses then will be, oh, I'm sending in this, I send this to the council, and you get nothing back. I called down a Green Party local councillor on Friday. He arrived in the house on Saturday, and he had an answer on Monday. So he got information from Cork City Council to me, and that he couldn't have known only for actually he went and did it. So I have to put him somewhere at the top of the ballot. So that's where I got swayed, really, is that this... Because I think we can always vote for party. I know that's important. But I think this year I told my partner, I'm voting for the person now. Because we need to have a representative from our area in the Dáil. So whether look party politics come into it or not, but I have to vote the man himself, even if I don't agree with all the green policies. Do you know?
Well, that's understandable, Stephen. I mean, a lot of people in this country will vote locally. I mean, in their minds.
Yeah.
Like, we have a funny system in Ireland compared to other countries. It's our own system in a way. But, like, we don't necessarily vote for a leader. We kind of get that after the fact. But people do vote locally. And it seems to me that someone came through for you, which you know...
Well, the information I got now wasn't great. So when the hearing was on, I asked this agency for the last 3 years, I've been asking them, if any house comes up in your agency, please get me out of where I am, you know? Because I'm renting with them for 6 years. And they said, no, we can't do it. You have to go through daft.ie, and it's the same as everyone else. A month before the hearing, now I'm in Cork City Centre. A month before the hearing, they offered me two properties. One was a third floor apartment. I have a 1-year-old and a 4-year-old. A third floor apartment in Blackpool, where the rent was going to be an increase of 4,000 a year. The second property was in Clonakilty, which, if you know, Cork is an hour away from where I work, from where the kids go to school, from where my partner goes to college, and that rent was going to increase by nearly 8,000 a year. So I refused both of them. They said in the hearing that I refused two properties without giving the context. They contacted Cork City Council last week to let Cork City Council know that I refused two properties. I had to provide clarity today. I had to send an email today to provide clarity. So that's the information I got back, so at least I know he is working. Because he did get information that he couldn't have got if he didn't go in and ask, you know?
I assume, Stephen, you're incredibly disappointed with what's happened to you recently.
I'm furious.
With the way you were treated.
I'm a public sector worker. But like when I went into teaching, I changed. I was a private sector worker and I changed. I went into teaching. Now I'm a qualified teacher, secondary school teacher. My partner is studying to be a teacher. She'll be a teacher in a few years. And the plan was to buy a house. I thought I'd be on the rental market. I'd save up, I'd buy a house and I'd be out. I did not think that I'd be on my knees begging for councillors and Cork City Council to help me, because come May, I'll be homeless with my kids. And all I'm getting is, don't worry, you might be in emergency accommodation. When I have one councillor telling me that you could be split up, that I might go to somewhere different to my partner and the kids, and another councillor saying, don't worry about it, you won't be split up, but you'll still be in emergency accommodation. Like, I'm like, oh my God, like, I'm a public sector worker. There's a teacher shortage. And, like, I'll have to leave my profession if I'm homeless. I can't stand in front of Leaving Cert in March and give them my all if I'm homeless in 2 months later, you know? That's not fair on them, and I won't be able to handle it with my own stress. It's constant hospital visits. Tomorrow I'm back in the GP again. It's non-stop. No one can do anything about it. The doctors are telling Cork City Council, get him out of the house, and the answer is no priority given. I cited idle houses that are ready. There's a house down the road. It was a woman in there, she had a daughter. They got moved out of it due to a disability because the steps going down to the house. The house is ready. It's ready to go. It's just after being insulated last year. That's idle 2 years. And I've asked, what about that? Give me the keys and I'll take it. And they're giving no response.
Nothing. I got no response on that.
I can't do anything. I submitted 557 applications on daft.ie in 4 years and I didn't get one viewing. Like, well, it doesn't make sense to me.
And what are you going to do, Stephen? What's next?
That's why I can't handle it, because it's like I'm desperate, because I have no control. I actually have no control. The rental market is a disaster. The housing system is a joke. And I'm here with no control, looking at my kids every night. Like, I have a thing here my son gave me 2 days ago. It's on my the thing you pull down in the car when it's sunny. It's a card and it says, Daddy, I love you, with a picture of a snake. And I see that and I go in. And I swear to God, I said it. You should call Tusla on myself, because this is surely neglect. Like I said, like, I feel like I'm neglecting my son. We can't be the parents we want to be, because we can't give him an environment where he can thrive in. Do you know? And now they're looking at autoimmune problems, because he's had a fever for 8 weeks. So he's going to the GP tomorrow, because they want to send him off the bloods to check if he's an autoimmune problem. And I said, a fever can't be related to moisture. And I was wrong, because it can. A severe moisture in a household can lead to autoimmune deficiencies. A child died 2 years ago in England, a two-year-old girl. It was well documented on the news. And the coroner reported the high levels of moisture in the house. That was 2 years ago. I mean, if anyone wants to Google it, two-year-old dies.
Oh, no, Stephen, listen, I know all about mould and all that stuff, you know.
Like,
it's a desperate situation you're finding yourself in. I wonder, would you be able to stay with me? Because I have to take a little break for the news and I'll come back to you after that. Would you stay with me, OK?
Yeah. I will, of course.
All right, Stephen, I'll come back to you after that. OK, we're going to head for the news, the 10 o'clock news right now. But we're going to keep talking about this. Has your vote been swayed in a different direction over the last couple of weeks as we head towards the polls on the 29th of November? Let us know on 087-188-0008 and across social media, X at Classic Hits Radio or Ireland's Classic Hits Radio on Facebook. The news is next. I'll see you on the other side here on Nighttime Talk. Welcome back to Nighttime Talk with Gary Brennan in for Niall Boylan. Before the news, we were talking about the election, of course, and has your vote been swayed in a different direction? Have you seen someone that you've said to yourself, actually, I'm going to switch it up a little bit and maybe change my vote this time? We want to hear from you on 087-188-0008. Later on, we're going to be talking about Ireland's boozing habits. We also have a listener dilemma, a chap who caught one of his friends at work doing something he shouldn't have been doing. And later on this evening, I'm going to be sitting down for a great interview with Alan Carrick. He's going to be talking to us about his struggle with addiction and his recovery as well. So I do hope you can stay with us for that. But before the news, as I said, we were talking about the election and Stephen rang us and he's going through quite an ordeal at the moment. Stephen, for those who weren't listening, you're still with me, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
For those just tuning in, give us a brief recap of the situation you find yourself in currently.
So we've been in a house for 5 years with a rogue landlord that wouldn't make repairs. the level of mold and moisture led to mushrooms that cause illness in my son. He's four. He's sick for 2 years with breathing issues and immunity issues. We brought an RTB hearing against the landlord last Tuesday, and 3 days before that, the Friday before that, he issued us with a notice of termination. We have to leave by May. So because we wanted our rights, we're now being forced to leave. Now we're facing homelessness, and I've asked every minister for help. Your question about swaying is an interesting one. I reflected on it there, and I said to you, we have to vote people, maybe not party. And it just made me think, I've asked these ministers for help, and I'm asking the question, and if anyone is listening, if they can answer it. How can someone living in the country be outside a Taoiseach's constituency? And these ministers, I might vote, I might like my local Fianna Gael councillor, my local Fianna Fáil councillor, but am I voting back in the ministers that are refusing to help me? And that's something I also have to think about, like housing, health and education. These three ministers say they can't help me. And am I voting in these people? Because if they can't help me, what power do they actually have? Maybe someone needs to be there that will care about it. I'm asking for transparency. I don't know what the situation is like in Dublin and Kerry. I know Cork. And you ask them, like the medical priority form that I got refused. I asked how far that helps. And they said, look, it helps a bit, but the main indicator is time on the list. That's what they tell you. Maybe it's the same in other counties, I don't know. But here they say the time on the list. I know a family. Came over here, and this is facts. I'm not telling lies, this is fact. They came over here from Spain in 2022, the middle of 2022. I know because I collected them at the airport, I translated for them, I helped their kids get into schools. So there's two adults and two kids. They moved over here, they got a house on the HAP scheme, they had a fully detached bungalow out the countryside, beautiful bungalow with a fantastic landlord. They got employment in the local shop, two of them got employment, and the kids had schools. The primary school was very close by, the secondary school was a direct bus collecting at the door. Perfect house. In 2023, less than a year later, they rang me that they got a phone call from Cork City Council that they have to go to a meeting. And I said to them, you're coming off the list. I said, I'm telling you now, they're after realising that you're only after coming into the country a year, they're taking you off the list. I went to that meeting. Now, I filled out their forms. There is no medical grounds. There is no disability. It's two adults, two kids, simple. And they were happy on their HAP scheme. And they gave them the keys to a house in the city centre. They were a year on the list. When councillors came to my door that last election, I told a few of them, and they said, hey, we all know someone like that. The few that actually asked the address, and I gave them the address, they looked into it, and they couldn't believe it. Like, they were a year. Now, would I have taken the house? I wouldn't be allowed to this three-bed. I'm allowed a two-bed down here, but I wouldn't have been able to. But you're telling me there's no other family in the whole of Cork that was on the list longer than 1 year that would have taken the house? So transparency. No one knows who's getting the house and why. Why is this person getting a house for that person? There's no transparency there. So they're telling me time on the list. I'm 6 years on the list. I was there collecting the keys outside the house, you know, walking them in, translating at the tour of the house, standing there the whole time, and my child was actually in the doctor at the same time, and I was saying, oh my God, I asked the person that gave the keys, can you look into my case? I will. No answer. I asked Cork City Council last week, can you give me a percentage of people that when they hand in a letter of termination, because that does actually give you a bit of priority, how many people actually end up homeless? So when they give that termination letter, how many after 6 months still end up homeless? Because if they told me 10%, I'd be less stressed. Do you know? They can't. They don't give an answer. They don't reply. So I'm just calling on, like, this government that's for the people. The Taoiseach has let me down. Like, the Taoiseach's office. I'm not expecting Simon Harris to physically write an email, but could someone in his office not send an email to Cork City Council? Could education not contact housing and say, this is a teacher going homeless in a teacher crisis. Do you know, he's on the list 6 years. He's a sick child. Can we do something here? Can we lobby Cork City Council? Can we ask them? No. So I don't know. It makes me think, do the government have any power at all? I see great smiles on posters, and I can't understand that.
Do you feel forgotten by the state, Stephen? Do you feel just completely forgotten and ignored?
Yeah, I feel that they don't see it. I feel they're just in there doing a job, and I think they see people like me sometimes. I think they've become immune to the situations. Like, I have a four-year-old, and he is an amazing boy. Like, he is an absolutely amazing child. He will tell you every single dinosaur on the planet. Like, he is great. He doesn't deserve this. He's hoarse every day. He loves school. He cries coming out because he says, I want to stay longer. On a Monday, he'll go in today now, or tomorrow, sorry, tomorrow's Thursday. So Monday, or I don't even know what day I have. Yeah, tomorrow's Thursday, isn't it? Tomorrow's Wednesday.
Yeah.
So he'll go in, we get a phone call, he has to come out because he had a fever. Yeah, then he's out 2 days, yeah, so tomorrow's Thursday. Then he's out for 2 days after that, he'll go in tomorrow. We'll drop him off there at 10 o'clock. We'll get a phone call, probably 11, 12, fever. We collect him, take him home. He has a doctor's appointment anyway. And then he'll be out to Friday because the 48-hour rule. He'll be back on the Monday. That's the life for the last 8 weeks. I have the letter from the school. They wrote down every fever he has, every date they called me, every time they sent him home. I sent that to all the TDs. I sent that to all the councillors. I sent him to Cork City Council. I said, so even if education, if the Department of Education doesn't look after, say, my situation, like I'm a teacher on the edge, and there's no kind of care there for me. Like, this is a child. This is a child that's losing an education. And the doctors say clearly, there's nothing we can do. It's not asthma. It is the situation. They visited the house. The doctors visited the house and they wrote down, the mould is having a serious impact on the health of Axel. It is too damp. He needs a dry accommodation. And that was February. And in June, I got a letter, we are refusing priority. I can't get my head around it. I feel forgotten. I feel that maybe people are on a power trip because my doctor is a doctor for 30 bloody years. Doctors go to college for what, 10 years? Then they have a practice. I mean, how can somebody in a council say that a doctor is wrong about a medical issue? That's like me telling you how to broadcast. Do you know?
I hear you, Stephen.
Look, I know it might come across as angry. It's frustration more than anything. It's really, really frustration.
You've every right to be frustrated and angry because it sounds like you've gone through the horrors and it's not over yet. And in the depths of winter as well, you must be up the walls.
It's getting worse. The dampness is getting worse. It's getting worse and worse and worse. It's just every morning, if the walls are black, you saw the pictures. The bedroom that the one-year-old sleeps in, it looks like someone's shed. Like, and again, like, even if you put away Cork City Council, the landlord has made 70 grand plus on this house, and he won't put the money in to fix it. He offered me 800 euros at the RTB hearing. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. And this agency, how they come up and do their viewings every 3 months, and they look at it, they look at the family, they know my kids. Like, we had no shower for 18 months when Axel was born. He was a newborn. And then they come and they congratulate me on the birth of the one-year-old, who's one now, but back then, congratulations on the birth. And they walk around the house and they see the dampness and they leave. It's just like, is there any way? And then when I go to fight for my rights, how I don't have protections is beyond me. Can some politician find out how that's not regulated? How a tenant that brings an RTV case, if that happened in work, if I brought a WRC case and got fired, that's not allowed. But I bring an RTB case, fighting for the rights of my tenancy, and the same week I get a notice of termination, and that's legal.
And we're coming up
selling
to
the house.
We're coming up to Christmas, Stephen.
Do you know what you're going to do
over the next few months? Do you have any idea?
No. She asked me today when we were taking down the Christmas decorations. I said, I don't know, because I'm trying to be optimistic, and hopefully we're out of here by Christmas. So do you really want to put up the Christmas decorations twice? Because that means you have to take them down twice. So, like, no, are we going to be here for Christmas? Like, when I left the hospital on Monday, I asked the TDs. I rang them all. I said, can I go into Cork City Council in the morning and say, give me emergency accommodation now? Because I cannot put my son back in the room. The doctors said it on Thursday. How the hell is that child still in that condition, in that place? So I asked them on Monday when I was in the CUH, in the CUH hospital in Cork, I rang the TDs. Can I go tomorrow morning to Cork City Council and say, I cannot put my child in there anymore. I'll have to call TUSL if I have to. I need emergency accommodation. And I was told that that is being voluntarily homeless. And that puts you down the bottom of the list. So you're like, okay, now I'm stuck. So I'm not really forcing my son to be in that room, even though you could say I am. I have made DAF.ie applications. Some people might say, oh, people are looking for everything off the state. I'm not. I'm just desperate now. I have made all these applications on DAF.ie. So I've actually been forced to stay here. Like, I'm being forced. Because the rents have increased since, you know, the schemes from government gave more money to landlords to help people that put people that are not on a housing list completely impoverished. Like, all these schemes inflated the price of the rent. 5 years ago, my apartment was 670 euros a month. The apartment I had just before this. 670 a month. Like, and now look at rents. The average rent in Cork is 2,100.
Stephen, it sounds to me in a rich country in 2024, this shouldn't be happening. And it's a bit of a disgrace, if you ask me. And we're getting plenty of messages in from listeners all over the country who are saying you're a great man altogether. And their heart goes out to you, and like mine does as well. And I hope to God there's somebody who can do something, who's listening in tonight, who can lend you a helping hand, because this can't go on, can it?
If somebody's listening now, just like when I go down to that box in Cork City Council to talk to them, I'm the nicest man you'll ever see. Because the people that work there at the desk, they're staff. And I see them get abused and call names. And it's like they're only working, they're only doing a job, you know. So I, like, they're not the decision makers, they're just doing a job. So I'm always nice to them. But whether it's about me or what, whether it's, look, this managing in the radio, forget about me. If someone's listening that can help, it's for my kids. I couldn't care less about me.
Yeah.
It's for my kids. So if someone is listening, if the Taoiseach's office is listening, if any of the ministers that I mentioned are listening, their offices, if any of the TVs in Cork or councillors, and to be fair, some of them in Cork are very good. I can't lie. Some of them are actually very good, right? But if they're listening, or Cork City Council, someone there, please. Like, please do it. I cannot handle the stress. I'm counting down the days to May the 9th. Because that's the day I'll be homeless. That's the day I'll be homeless. And there's no... Some people are saying you'll be housed, some people are saying you're not. And that's the reality. I don't know. It's the uncertainty. And who knows if I'll even be here on May 9th. Maybe he gets so sick that, like, the winter's coming, this is getting worse. It's just starting to get the cold weather. Now you're going to see the damp grow. Now you're going to see the mushrooms come back tenfold. And for people that didn't see the mushrooms, the head of the mushroom is about a 7 centimetre diameter. The mushroom grows up about 10 centimetres and the head of the mushroom is 7 centimetres in diameter. That's the biggest one we've got. The other ones come out, we cut them. We garden inside our own house on the walls. Can you imagine that? We cut down the stems and they come out in the morning.
Yeah, Stephen.
Like white mushrooms.
Look, I don't know what to say to you. I really don't. I really don't. But I want you to do me a favour over the coming weeks. Will you stay in touch with us here on Nighttime Talk? And let us know.
Yeah. I will, of course. I'll let you know any update. I'll send in a text and I'll keep you updated.
Yeah, keep us up to date. And look, everyone here wishes you the best and everyone listening in tonight as well wishes you the best. And you never know. Things just might work out in the end.
Perfect. Thanks very much for your time.
Peace God, Stephen. Thanks so much for coming on and being so honest. Best of luck to you.
Take care. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you have it from Stephen. I'm just going to take one more caller on this. God, that knocked me out now, I have to say, because that's a terrible story and a terrible ordeal that poor old Stephen has gone through. And, you know, it shows you what's actually going on around the country. While we're off talking about elections and this, that, the other, there are real people out there who are going through real, real tough times at the moment. And your vote does make a difference. You know, you can really make a difference for these people. And as I said, I'm going to take one more call on this about... Has your vote been swayed in a different direction? I have Sharon on line too. Sharon, you think you're going to stick with independence?
Yeah. I have to be honest with you. I found it very hard listening to Stephen.
Yeah.
It's. I mean, if there was some way that they could be shamed into looking after that child, you know? Yeah. And, I mean, if he was living somewhere, if he was teaching somewhere like Dubai or something, he would get such good supports. You know, they cry out for teachers in countries like that, but it would be terrible to have to do that. But
it's upsetting, just, Sharon, isn't it? In this day and age,
it's awful. It's just, especially a child, Gary. You know,
I hear you completely.
I'll keep Stephen in my prayers, and I hope to God someone listening tonight will help that man. And I hope that somehow the government can be shamed into looking after this child.
Well, isn't it like I just said, Sharon, you know, we talk about elections abstractly, like we're just talking about, oh, the parties are doing this and they're saying that and everything. But that, I mean, Stephen is a prime example of somebody who really needs help and they really need it urgently. And the only people that can help them are the people that we put into these positions of power. So it's really important that we get out and vote and make sure that we tell them we need these things done. Something has to give for Stephen. Something has to be done. There's no, and his poor child, it's unacceptable.
Yeah. I'll probably be mentioning it to any of the politicians that I come into contact with now over the next few days. I'm having chats with my friends to see, you know, have discussions and see who, my God, I'm not just having discussions with friends. I had a chat with a lady on the bus today, you know, like we're all talking about it, trying to figure out who's the best people to vote for. And I haven't changed simply because I haven't heard anything that would make me change. So I've got my list of independents, the flyers that are coming through the door, and I'm just going to have to go through them and know the day I go down who I'm voting for. But there will be independents.
Have you always voted independent, Sharon?
No, but last election I did. It's almost like I knew then, you know. I knew even then not to vote for who's in at the moment. So I didn't vote then in.
Getting a lot of calls on Nighttime Talk over the last couple of weeks that I've been filling in for Niall. And an awful lot of people are saying they're voting independent.
Yeah, I don't know where it's going to take us, Gary, though. I don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, sometimes they say things have to break down to build back up, and I think that's the only way. The things do have to break down to build back up.
Do you know, I had Ian O'Doherty from the Irish Independent. He's a columnist and broadcaster. He was a guest here the other night. And he said that the temperature he's getting off the electorate is apathy. And there's a bit of anger out there. And they're going to show it when they go to the polls. And I think a few politicians may be in for a surprise this time. What do you reckon?
Well, I'd say they know by now the minds of the people. I'd say they're after getting a good taste of it now, since the campaign has started.
Well, there you go. Yeah. We'll find out on the 29th of November. I'm going to leave it there,
Sharon. I don't
think
there's ever been as much anger as there is right now.
Well, yeah, and you know what? And we're getting so many texts in concerning Stephen and everybody's rooting for him. And, you know, as I just said...
But can we do anything? I mean, where's the people power?
Yeah.
Where's the people power? Can we support Stephen in some way to go with him and shame these efforts? Sorry.
Well,
into
look at,
doing something.
As I asked Stephen, he's going to stay in touch with the show and we'll get an update on that as soon as we get it. And hopefully it's a good news update because we need that right now. Absolutely. There's no doubt about it, Sharon, right?
Thanks, Gary.
Thanks for calling in and good luck with your vote on the 29th of November.
Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
McCarthy Insurance Group, serving the community for over 70 years. For home, farm, motor, life, health and business insurance, log on to mig.ie or free phone 1800 50 11 11. Probably your best call in 2024. Charles McCarthy Insurance is trading as McCarthy Insurance Group is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.